Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for another episode of In the Eyes of Truth. Back with us is Professor Said Morandi, straight from the front lines of the American aggression. I'm going to read a truth social. Well, there's not much truth in it, but it's kind of social from Trump that he put out, I guess, yesterday, sometime, I guess, while we were sleeping. Please let the statement serve to represent, until further notice, that from this point forth, any and all damages done to ships, cargo, anything related thereto, will be paid by Iranian money the United States has in its possession and controls. These damages may be very substantial, but nevertheless, this is fair and equitable thing to do. Thank you for your attention to this matter, Trump. So they're going to be stealing Iranian money.
Hello, dear friends. Just want to remind you, if you like this video or you like what you hear, click like, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Send it to your friends. Let's grow this channel. Maybe we can finally hit it up to 100,000. That'd be a good round number for the summer. So let me know, leave some comments, and give a thumbs up. So look forward to seeing you in the next video. Cheers.
Well, they've already stolen it. They've already stolen it, and they've never had any intention of giving it back. And the MOU proved that. And the Iranians knew it from the beginning. But what the Iranians were seeking back then was to use the MOU as a for breathing space, so that they could quickly export some tens of millions of barrels of oil that were stuck in the tankers in the Persian Gulf. And to import key supplies, because ultimately the siege was going to be reimposed, and they were right. And so, the talk about the United States handing over Iranian assets and all that, it never materialized. And I think almost everyone expected that to happen. So right now we're back at war, and the mentality is that we don't need negotiations anytime soon, and that whenever the Americans are prepared to give bigger concessions and to give some of those concessions first before Iran carries out any does anything in return, then we can talk. So for now, the Iranians don't care what Trump says. The real question is, does Trump want to escalate? And this Truth Social post raises questions, although no, you should never predict Trump. But before, he was saying he's going to, if the Iran strikes a ship, he's going to destroy bridges and power plants. Now he's saying this. Now that sounds like a retreat, but then again, it's Trump. So tomorrow morning, he may wake up and say something else, or he may do something else. So the real question, this Truth Social post isn't important, because ultimately, when this is done, the Iranian demands will be much higher than what we saw in the MOU. What is important is, does Trump want to carry out his threats of destroying Iran's critical infrastructure? Because the Iranians have said that if you move in that direction, we're going to destroy the critical infrastructure of the regimes that have been hosting you and assisting you, and have facilitated the war, and who are partners in crime. And that would mean the critical infrastructure of Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, Kuwait, and Bahrain, and possibly now, or probably, I'm not sure, Oman, if not Jordan as well, and of course the Israeli regime. So I'm sort of waiting for this weekend, because the markets close, and usually Trump does his most idiotic things over the weekend so that the markets won't be affected. Now, is he going to carry it out? I don't know. He may carry out some small attacks, just so that he will not be humiliated. If he does, Iran will strike back very hard, much harder than anything that he does against Iran. He may do nothing, which then there won't be any destruction of critical infrastructure in any of these regimes. Or he may expand the war. And if he does that, I think this will be the most decisive part of the war by far. Because if he goes for critical infrastructure, Iran will go for critical infrastructure. And that, I think, means that the destruction of energy facilities and key infrastructure in the Persian Gulf will become almost inevitable. And that would mean a global economic depression worse than the 1930s. If we're in late July and the very hot season in the Persian Gulf region continues for another couple of months. And if Iran is forced to strike their power plants and desalination plants now, these countries would all collapse. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
they would not exist anymore. So who knows what Trump will do? I find it difficult to believe that he'll go all the way. I tend to believe that he'll try something small and then Iran will hit back hard and he'll pretend nothing happened. I mean, that's the sane way forward. I shouldn't say that that's what I tend to believe because it's with Trump, you shouldn't believe it. You shouldn't be believe any you shouldn't think of any scenario being the probable scenario.
Right.
But in any case, what we can say for certain is that the trajectory for the world is downhill. But the question is he going to send the world economy off of a cliff, or is it going to be a gradual fall until he decides to change course, whatever that may mean?
Well, the Saudis are now in a pissing match with Yemen. When they try to assassinate the Houthi leadership, and the Houthis can very easily close down the Red Sea ports, so that would quite literally cut off another 5 million barrels off the world market, much of which is, by the way, heading to the European Union. So at this point, how is this not going to be a crash, no matter what Trump does? It's been 4 months of even
Well,
the oil
you
that got
know,
out was a fraction of what normally got out.
little, almost nothing gets out of the Persian Gulf anymore, and the Red Sea is shut too. I mean, the Ansarullah, the Yemeni armed forces, or the Houthis, as they say in the West, they've destroyed, struck two ships, and they're not allowing other ships to pass through the strait, and now Brent crude, I think, is at $100, and that's of course paper on the spot market. I think
Right.
it must be like between $140 and $150. So, and this is going to continue because every day that goes by, the shortages grow, and it's not just, of course, crude. That's what's in the headlines. It's everything,
Oh, yeah.
everything that's produced. You know, the petrochemicals, helium, fertilizer, you know, all the different
Aluminum.
things that,
Yeah.
and aluminum too, but many other things, many other things. You know what petrochemical plants do, they make all sorts of things. So
Oh, yes.
the crisis will grow. And Trump once said when he signed the deal, when they were attacking him, saying that the MOU was a capitulation to Iran, he said, we only have 4 more weeks of reserves. Well, I would imagine now, based on his numbers, we probably have a couple of weeks of reserve. Now, his statements are never very accurate, and he's a, you know, he lies out of self-interest all the time. Maybe it's 6 weeks, maybe it's 5 weeks, maybe it's 3 weeks, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. With the Strait of Hormuz shut and the Bab al-Mandab shut too, then the crisis is going to grow very rapidly.
Absolutely. And interesting enough, they're also trying to their damnedest to get Russia off the market, which, by the way, the U.S. imports, and most Americans don't seem to realize this because they've bought in this line, U.S. is self-sufficient. U.S. imports 8.6 million barrels of crude and petroleum products per day. That's one of the
Yeah, but
biggest
it's
importers in the
even more
world.
than that. It's even more than that, I think. I mean, true, they import huge quantities of oil, but okay, so what? Let's say they don't. Let's say they are energy sufficient. Who's going to make the money? I mean, the price, when the price goes through the roof, is it America, the American people who are going to have each their own share of the wealth? Of
Yeah.
course not. They're the ones who are going to pay at the pump. They're the ones who are going to pay higher electricity bills. It's just a few billionaires, who control the energy companies, the oil companies, who are going to be making huge amounts of money. Of course, until the system collapses, because at one point, at some point, the system will collapse. And when oil and energy reaches a certain place, the global economy can't continue. Factories will begin to shut down. Businesses will shut down. People will no longer be able to pay the bills. And then you have a depression. You have demand destruction. And the demand destruction basically means recession. And then if it goes on, it becomes depression. So, it doesn't matter if you're energy sufficient. It's not nationalized oil.
Right. Very true. Very, very, very true. When Trump grabbed power in Venezuela, which unfortunately is exactly what he did, thanks to Rodriguez, he was promising all Americans were going to get rich off of this, personally rich. That's, I don't know whether they're planning on sending him a check or just giving him a, here's a couple liters of oil. Do with it what you want. Here's your oil ration. But I mean, that's the ridiculous, that was the ridiculous byline that he was selling, and apparently he sold it to quite a few people. Quite a few people believe that. And that's what they're selling on the
And
RAM right
it just
now.
shows how his supporters are truly immoral, because it's just like 19th century, 18th century open theft now.
Oh, yeah.
It's just we kill and we steal. It's out. It's in the open. I mean, the facade of human rights and human dignity and all that nonsense that we had over the past few decades is all just thrown out the window. It's just brutal ruthlessness, like the genocide in Gaza. In the past, at least they tried to pretend it was something else, but it's all gone. So they just move it, and you notice that no one condemns him when he says, "We have Venezuela. We
Oh, yeah.
we can." No one, like the Democrats or the New York Times or the Guardian, or no one says this is outrageous. They've colonized an independent country. They're stealing their resources. No, it's all fine because it's the empire. There may be a
Yep.
few criticisms here and there, but all of these, and just like with Iran, I mean, they the media, and it's left and right, it doesn't make a difference. They're all a part of the Epstein class, whether it's the Guardian or the or Breitbart, it doesn't make a difference. They delegitimize the authority of the independent country. Like Venezuela, they say Maduro, he's evil. Of course, he's he but those who are opposed to the invasion of Venezuela, they say of course he's evil. Of course he's ill, but it's we shouldn't do it. But even but these people are just as guilty, because they also enable aggression. Who are they to talk about whether Maduro is evil or not? I mean, they're evil. They're the ones who are evil, who are allowing their own governments to invade country after country, to rape and pillage and plunder across the world. So the whole political establishment, regardless of what their positions are on a particular issue, they're all in it together. They're all a part of the same, broader ideology and move to have full control. And it when you invade Iraq and a million people die, when they leave, knowing they don't put them on trial, there are no Nuremberg trials. It's just, well, yeah, it was bad policy. So a million people die, bad policy. It's bad policy.
Whoops. It's basically whoops. Well, as opposed to the Israelis who go, oh, those aren't collateral damage. That's bonus points.
Oh, yes. I mean, Israel is something else altogether. The Israeli regime, they take pleasure in killing kids, and they're doing it every single day as we speak. And it's not even being reflected in the Western media. Every day they're killing, every single day in Gaza, they're sniping kids, they're bombing kids. And the West knows it. Western journalists based in Palestine, based in Egypt, based in Lebanon, based across, they all know it. So their bosses know it. Everyone knows it, but they won't say it because, of course, they belong to they work for the Epstein class. They have to pay the rent. So fine. There's absolutely no morality in the West when it comes to the elites. And the elites go all the way down to the journalists, to the academics at university who are too cowardly to say anything for tenure, because now they could even lose their tenure. So there's no courage. I mean, that means, I suppose, I'm just making this up, but maybe 20% of the country, 15% of the country, when you go down to the journalists and to the academics and all these people who are who'll do what who'll say what needs to be said so that they keep their jobs, and who will do it. There's people at Google or at the other high-tech companies who are helping the US government and the Israelis kill kids and all that. They'll continue to do it. The smart kids who do well at universities and go to US top universities, or go to then afterwards go to these companies that work with the military industrial complex. They all have blood on their hands,
Oh,
but they'll all
absolutely.
continue doing it because they, they're following the American dream.
I mean, look,
But
see.
again, Israel is just at a different level. It's like, at least the Nazis didn't, they didn't do it in front of the cameras. Perhaps if they
Well,
were doing
they
it today,
photographed
they
quite a
would
bit
have.
of it themselves. I think it's
Uh,
the
not the way that
mentality.
these guys do. And not the way these guys do. I mean, they just they post their crimes on social media. They're the most despicable people on this planet. But
I would.
the whole thing is that the West is the elites in the West, they just have no morality, because they, of course, are supporting the Israelis when they do this. And it's not even necessary for them. For the Israelis, they say, well, we want to take the land. Well, in London, when the British Prime Minister supports this, what does he gain? What does his country gain? Gains nothing but being more deeply involved in criminal behavior. But it doesn't benefit from this.
Absolutely. As far as the Nazis, the only, I think, difference between what is happening now and the Hitlerites was there was no social media. A lot of them were put on trial and then executed on their own writings, on their own photographs. There's tons of archival photographs. They get off on shooting, on
Yeah,
taking
I don't mean
photographs
those
of killing.
people. I don't mean those people. Yeah, but but at least one could say that many people in Germany who live like on, far away from their camps, they could say, I didn't know. But
You're right.
I had no idea. But here, they all know.
Oh, of course.
Everyone knows. I mean,
Of
there's
course.
no, but they support it. So, perhaps in Germany, if you had this like poll, or you ask people, I mean, it's possible to do, but many Germans probably had no idea. Maybe if they knew, they'd still support it. Who knows? I mean, I'm not saying that they would be any different from these Zionists, but at least we know that these people do know
Oh,
exactly what's going
absolutely.
on. Back then, a lot of people probably didn't know. Again, if they did know, it's not clear whether they would be like the Israelis or something else. But in any case, what's going on in Gaza is unprecedented.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you see the suicide rate amongst the Israeli soldiers, snipers skyrocketing. You see these guys coming out doing testimonies. I was told to kill children. I killed children. I can't sleep with myself. Well, that Yeah, he should have thought of that before. But the fact is, he's admitting he's been told to kill kids, and he carried out government orders. And you see countless testimonies on that. There's absolutely no hiding, and you don't have to hide it. I mean, look, they say it out loud.
Yeah, I mean
They just flat out
they
say it
rape
out loud.
prisoners and then they
Yeah.
become national heroes.
Oh yeah. They took out the Gestapo page out of the Gestapo book using dogs to rape prisoners. Yeah, we've seen that before in history. It was
They
80 years ago.
rape prisoners to death. They
Yeah.
rape doctors to death. And then, I mean, like, how many sanctions have been imposed on Israel?
How dare you suggest
None.
that? How dare you suggest that? Oh, it's exactly. Well, the same thing. Look, what's happening? What happened in Abu Ghraib in Iraq? A couple of people got slapped on the wrist, got very short sentences for something they should have gotten the death penalty for, and so on and so on. This is
And they're
systematic.
low-ranking people, not
Oh yeah,
important people.
of course, of course. Privates and specialists. Not, I don't think any sergeants even got that far. But yeah, absolutely. And it was written off. And talking about was considered, oh, you're putting soldiers in danger. Yeah, the guy you're putting the guys that are committing
And
the
have no
war crimes
doubt
in
that
danger.
what was going on in Abu Ghraib was condoned by very high up,
Yep.
but only when it came out did they feel. And many of the photos, the worst photos, we will never see them. The worst
Absolutely.
photos were prevented from being published. But we'll never see those. But one of the people in Abu Ghraib was an Iranian. I don't know if you know that. You
No.
know the guy who the I think who the dog is attacking, and he's like he has a he's like in great fear.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall that
Yeah,
picture.
I do recall
There are a
that
couple of
picture.
iconic. Yeah, there are some. He that's him. He was a young Iranian who went to Iraq for pilgrimage, and he was standing up in front of him. They picked him up, took him to Abu Ghraib, and he was on Iranian TV a couple of years ago, and he was telling about his experiences there, and it was like unbelievable. But they all knew this. I mean, the American, you can be sure that generals were saying, "Yeah, do it," and then when it comes out, they go and take these couple of stupid privates and others, and it. Embarrass them, humiliate them, and then move on and probably move up in rank as well.
Oh yeah, one of them became a director of the CIA, in the CIA. I cannot remember her name right now. She was an officer, a lieutenant.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she had, they have a nickname for her too. Yeah, she was the head of, like, she I think in Thailand, and like they had this black prison or something, an unknown prison where they torture people, and she was like in charge of that.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure right now about her background, but yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah. So talk about moving up. Oh, it's the same thing as when they shot down the Iranian passenger liner. Nobody got
Of
no nobody
course,
got punished for that. They got
Vincent.
promoted.
They got promoted and they got medals.
And I'm telling you, I remember I was,
USS Vincent.
yeah, the Vincent. I was in the U.S. at that time. I remember the U.S. media were trying to portray it as there were no bodies there were no people there, and the Iranians are throwing dead bodies in the water to make it look like there were people in that plane. I mean, the ludicrousness of the claims, but that's what they were selling to the audience. That's what they were selling to the people.
Well, that's what they do today. That's exactly what they do today. I mean, when you look at their coverage of the war. The Iranians have been at war with us for 47 years. The Iranians, they're terrorists. They're terrorizing Americans across the world. I mean, like, where exactly? When? Like, have Americans been terrorized by the Iranians? Like, where are these Americans who are living in fear? But they just repeat it all the time. And the more ignorant or the cultists, the MAGA cultists, they'll just lap it up.
My dear friend Saeed, don't confuse the issue with facts. You may force the peasants to
That,
start thinking for themselves. That would be bad.
yeah, facts cause confusion.
Yes, absolutely cause confusion. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Yeah, it, but that's it, and they're also playing. First of all, we know there's a hell of a lot more casualties on the U.S. side than 18 that they officially declared. Now they're
Of
even trying to move
course.
four of those 18 off because of technicalities. I've heard numbers up to 1,000 people have been killed, 1,000
The
on the U.S.
large
side.
numbers have been killed, especially in Kuwait. A lot of people have been killed in Kuwait, but also in Jordan. In Bahrain too, but in Kuwait, the numbers are particularly high.
Yeah, well, we saw in Jordan the Iranian strikes and the firestorm that came across those trailers in which they were living. Which, by the way, is amazing to me that they still have not built bunkers. Just out of survival instinct, you'd think they'd build bunkers. They
Well,
still
it's
haven't done that.
the reason for that is that they always think that, well, this is, this won't last long. We'll defeat the hordes. We're, they're backward. They're, so this war was supposed to end in 2 days, and then okay, well, maybe 2 weeks. Okay, maybe 2 months. Well, now we're going to do it this way, and they're going to collapse. I mean, Trump every day he says they're defeated, they're destroyed. We've wiped them out. They have no military, they have no economy, and the U.S. Secretary of State, he keeps he's always angry and says where it's going to be a head for an eye, and we're like this barbaric medieval prince, speaks like that, and it was, in outrage. But so these people, I would assume that they really can't do long-term planning
Oh.
because they're supposed to win. It's almost over. The Iranians are finished. They're begging for a deal. They're on their knees. So when your enemy, the designated enemy, of course, when
Right.
the designated enemy is always about to be defeated, then why seek to create bunkers and that sort of thing? You'll be going home in a few weeks.
I think they do plan ahead. They've already planned how they're going to divide Iran up, how they're going to divide Iranian wealth, who's going to get, what extra bonus. I'm sure that's been planned out from day one. It's just, that thing about the, dividing the fish before you catch it, except that fish is turning out to be a shark.
Yeah, it's it. So I think that the reason why they don't have bunk, and that's one reason why they're losing the war, because Iran has made all these underground bases, underground factories, underground missile bases, underground drone bases, underground bases for their naval speedboats, underground bases for their air defenses, and so on. I mean, they've been doing this for decades, and they're expanding them now as we speak. And so when the Americans bomb these places with B-52 bombers, nothing happens. At most, one of the gates is blocked, and then they have to spend a few hours or a day or two opening that up. But they have so many different gates, and it's not going to stop anything. But what do the Americans have? They have all these bases in Bahrain and Kuwait and elsewhere, which are right out in the open. So the Iranians keep hammering them and destroying them, and the Americans keep striking Iran and not destroying much. That's why Trump wants to strike civilian infrastructure, because there's nothing else he can do. And then when the Americans retreat from the Persian Gulf region and go to Jordan, they're still out in the open. So the Iranian missiles strike them and destroy their planes and their helicopters and their drones and they kill their soldiers. But they have never envisaged 21st century warfare, even though they should have understood by now. But they're not prepared for it.
Yeah, they've frozen in 1992, 1991, when the U.S. had the dominance on standoff munitions. That 30 years has passed. I don't think anybody's met and noticed. That Iran, well, Iran's a bunch of backward savages living in caves, so they can't have missiles at all. The Russians are, a bunch of alcoholics riding on
don't
bears,
know
so
if
they
you
can't have missiles at
recall.
all.
I don't know if you recall. I mean, of course, Russia doesn't have missiles, and you have to open up your washing machines or whatever to take out the
It's
chips and
telephones
all
now. We've
that.
run out of washing machines
Oh,
and
okay.
dryers.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I'm still, back in 2023, I think, or 2024. The point is that when when Iran first began to develop its drone program, like 20 years ago, they were making fun of drones. And then of course we saw that the Iranians, their drones were used in Russia, and then they began to take it seriously. When Iran began to develop their missiles, they'd make fun of Iranian missiles. Why? I mean, if it was made by I don't know, the Norwegians, they would take them seriously. But since they were being developed by the Iranians, you laugh at them. Of course, this is all for show and it's nonsense and this is useless. They would make fun of the drones and say that, look at those drones. They sound like it's like they have a motor on them that's good for a motorcycle, for a bicycle, one of these, bicycles that mopeds for a moped. And they make fun of it. But now they themselves are trying to mimic the same drones that the Iranians made back then. This is all based upon their exceptionalist and supremacist ideology that, of course, the Russians are, backward. They're a bunch of drunkards. It's a, what was it, a gas station? What was it, a gas station?
Gas
Obama once
station
said.
masquerading as a country.
Yeah, a gas station masquerading as a country. And this comes from a guy whose father's African. You'd think that that racist mentality would the irony would be comprehended by someone like him, but no, apparently not.
Obviously not.
Yeah, obviously not. Not apparently.
Yeah, the in fact, the Grand 3 and the Grand 4 are both jet powered. And the Grand 4, this was a little shock for the Ukrainians. They put up helicopters in the air to try to shoot down the drones. The Grand 4 is now armed with anti-aircraft drone missiles. So you have a drone,
Oh,
you have a
in
kamikaze drone
Iran,
armed with missiles.
and in Iran, it's the same. Right now, the Iranians are not using their new technology in drones, in particular. The Iranians are using the drones that they built 15, 20 years ago. They're trying to get rid of this stuff because they don't want to keep this stuff forever.
All right.
So they're getting rid of all their old drones, and no one can block them. And then after they finished off with those, then they'll go and start using the new generation stuff. The same is true with the missiles. So, if the West cannot block Iranian old, outdated drones, what are they going to do when the fighting gets really tough? If Trump actually wants to carry out his threats. And like in Russia too. The point is, and the funny Not funny, it's actually quite tragic. But the tragedy is that the West has imposed upon its own people a war on multiple fronts, one in Ukraine, of course, and one in West Asia. And it's not going to end well for them. It's going to end very, very badly.
Well, they've also imposed one on West Africa, on the Sahel. They use the same Islamic jihadists, sponsored by, of all places, Saudi Arabia. I know you're shocked. Armed to the teeth by U.S. and France, and trained by Ukrainian Nazis. I know, shocking. How could that be? And it's been, thankfully, a total bloody failure.
Of
But
course, Erdogan and Qatar have played a pretty big role in all this too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Which
And
is,
in a different way, and in a different way, the UAE, but in a different way.
funny too, because well, funny, but it's ironic, because the Ukrainians are striking Turkish vessels as well and killing Turkish citizens. And Erdogan continues to kiss up. I mean, but he kisses up to every side. The man has amazingly been able not to sit just two camels, but I think a whole herd of camels.
Well, he's NATO.
Yeah.
You know, no one should believe the rhetoric. He's NATO. I mean, Trump said in Egypt that whenever I needed him, he was there for me. And just recently in the NATO conference, he says he's more loyal to me than the others. So what more do you want?
Very true. But you know, I take the fact that you know the gift that Erdogan gave to the rest of the NATO leaders. So
No.
he gifted all of them a revolver with six live rounds in this case. I'm thinking this is more of one of those when the Russian tanks are riding down your street, you can have the Hitler exit. There's your revolver, break case in case of emergency. Don't get caught. Don't get taken prisoner. Go ahead. So it's, I think that was like a, the only thing he forgot is to put a little capsule of cyanide in there too.
I mean, it's so pathetic that at a time when the empire is in such trouble, all these countries that are so bound to the empire, whose people hate the empire, their regimes just cling on. They just
Oh yeah.
cling to the empire.
No,
They
there are
continue
videos that
clinging.
came out, Jordanians celebrating and laughing as Iranian missiles are striking American bases. But we've seen the same videos in Bahrain, we've seen the same videos in Kuwait. And in fact, Kuwaitis are from what I understand there's riots going on in Kuwait City for the last 2 days.
In Kuwait or the Emirates, they'll get arrested immediately.
Yeah.
And Bahrain.
So, you know, but
And
because
Saudi Arabia.
well
And
the
Qatar.
all these countries are artificial entities. I mean, they're all British created straight line bordered artificial interests,
Look,
family enterprises.
let's say that Trump moves towards escalation. Yemen, let's say it enters the war. The resistance in Iraq, they are between 100 to 200,000 people, and they're very well armed. They get involved. So let's compare. I mean, who's going to stand up against Yemen and the Iraqi resistance? Is it going to be Qatar? Like, how? I mean, the whole population, the citizens of Qatar are like 350,000 people. Who are they going to, who's going to do the fighting?
Oh,
Or the Emirates?
it's going to be all the influencers and bloggers in Dubai. They're going to take their computers. They're going to march, with their laptops to fight for Dubai.
Exactly. So, the Americans, I mean, if Trump goes in that direction, this region is just going to, the map will change. When you say artificial entities, if Trump pushes this too far, the map of the region will change. Probably Kuwait will belong to Iraq again.
Yep,
And there are
heaven
lots
forbid.
of Iranians and Bahrainis who say Bahrain should come back to Iran. So, and Yemen will probably take its provinces in Saudi Arabia, the free provinces that the Saudis took. I mean, many things can happen depending on how things play out. But it'll be catastrophic for the world. I mean, no
Oh.
doubt about it. Trump pushes in that direction already. I think at the current rate, there's going to be a deep recession, if not ultimately a depression. But if he escalates, then I think it's going to go downhill far faster. If he really escalates, then we just go off a cliff. The
Well,
world goes off.
there is still this point that between Russia and China and several other countries, I think any of this that Trump is doing is actually only going to accelerate BRICS, decoupling from the U.S., decoupling from its vassal states, in just in order to survive. Circle the wagons, but circle the wagons away from the Americans with that part of the world that can supply itself.
Well, I agree, but the America, this the colonization of the mind is something that still exists, and many people
Yes.
still, as the empire is falling, they're still bound to the West,
Oh, you're
and
right. You're right.
we see that in our region. But also, I mean, look at Latin America. In Latin America, it's very interesting. Most people, according to polls, hate Israel, But they voted and supported groups bound to the Israeli regime.
Oh,
I
it
mean,
was.
the amount of propaganda being put out by the oligarchy and across Latin America is has had its impact. So people are easily influenced. I think in our part of the world, that's going to that model will fall apart, but I don't think it's the same everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people in Argentina have buyer's regret for Milei and what he's done I mean, to trying to save the country, he's as high as inflation was before. It's tripled in the last, what, 2.5 years. It's an incredible
And
way to
also,
demolish.
his policies have made Argentina very unpopular. I mean, I've never seen people show so much contempt for a football team before. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
Argentina in the past was popular. I mean, people say they play dirty. I'm not a football person, so I can't say. I don't follow sports in general, and it's not that it's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just I don't. But
I don't either. I don't have time for
But I
it.
don't recall ever seeing people talking all the time about how they play dirty. And Messi used to be someone who had lots of supporters. But now everyone, that I see or I see online, everyone's attacking Argentina. And I think a lot of this, if not most of this, has to do with Messi and Netanyahu and Argentina and Israel.
Yeah, and then Argentina is again becoming a haven for terrorists and mass murderers, just like it was in 1945, 1946, the rat line. Now we see people like Theo, that
Those
terrorist.
people who went to Argentina in 1945 and 1946 are welcoming the terrorists.
Yeah. I know. That's the insane part of this. Well, look, Israel's come full circle from
It's like the Canadian Parliament. It's the same thing.
what can you say? Now you've got Meretz coming out there and saying, yeah, the Israelis are doing the dirty work of civilization. Well, you're now no longer the expelled and the victim of us. Now you're one of us. Now go murder some other people.
Yes, it's amazing. I mean, Argentina is a really interesting example.
Well,
The same people who went there in 1945 and 1946 are welcoming the Zionists.
the world turns, and I'm laughing because it's either laugh or cry at this point. It is that ludicrous.
It's very dark.
Oh yeah,
That's how it is.
it's incredibly dark. You got Thiel, who's now down there because the U.S. is going to collapse, which he's helping create the collapse. But I mean, he's a terrorist. Look, we've got his drones, which are on autopilot. They're programmed when the charge is starting to run out. They just look for any target. They've killed numerous civilians in Russia, in old Russia, in newer old Russia. From
Imagine
kids
what
on bicycles
they've
to,
done to Gaza.
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they
I
can't
mean,
hit the military now because the military went Mad Max. They got gun trucks everywhere. They're really good at shooting those drones down, but civilians don't have gun trucks. They're quite literally. I mean, look, 3 weeks ago they took out an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old on a bicycle. That's what America does. This is what the American taxpayer is paying for. The other day they hit a gas station that had about 20 cars in it. Well, people will park. This
I
is,
saw that. I saw that.
yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Even Krasnodar, they can't hit the military targets. The government targets are too hard. They hit 14 houses.
Of course, you're not going to see that in Western media, but I saw that on social media.
I'll give it to this. It became very prevalent on X. A lot of people got to see that on X if they're looking. But at least
Well,
I'm.
you have to be following the right people, of course. It's
Right.
otherwise.
Right. But that's more than you
And
can say
even
for Russia.
then, you can tell. I mean, right now, I don't know if I'm shadow banned. I used to be heavily shadow banned. I don't know if I am now. But I do see people who are getting far fewer viewers than they should based on their numbers.
Oh yeah.
And it's always on this side, of course.
Oh yeah. I'm one of them, and I've seen it. Occasionally even see
And
your.
I've been removed from Facebook and Instagram years ago. But the point is that you have to follow the right people. I don't follow any mainstream media outlet. I unfollowed everyone a long time ago. I only follow like people who are on the right side because of another, and they're the ones who I'm interested in. I'm whether I want to see it or not, I'm hearing what the empire is saying 24 hours a day. So I'd like to get like different perspectives out there. That's the only reason why I saw that footage of the gas station.
I listen occasionally to the Western media because I kind of have to. You got to know what
I mean, you
they're
can't
saying,
escape it. That's the point. That's
right?
why I don't follow it, because it's in your face
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you got to
in one
know
form or another.
what your opponents are thinking or they're talking about. But it is
Oh
sickening. I
yeah.
mean, it's extremely sickening. And sometimes I'll tell you, sometimes you got to walk outside, look at the sky, and figure out what color the sky is in your reality. Because you read that, that cannot be the same reality I'm living in. But yeah, I mean that's what you get.
Absolutely. I By the way, what's a good book on Russia? Like if someone wants to read about contemporary Russia, what's a very I mean, I've said on different shows I've promoted Going to Tehran by Flint and Hillary Leverett. I think that Alistair Crook's book Resistance is very good. Peter Oborne's book on the Iranian nuclear program called A Dangerous Delusion, or Gareth Porter's book, A Manufactured Crisis. These book, four books I tell people to read. People have, I think, should read it. But I don't know of any book in English or books in English on Russia that are not tainted by these so-called, these Western narratives and these so-called Russian experts who are bound to the leads who write nonsense. I'm sure there are thousands of those. Just like when it comes to Iran, there are thousands of books that are all not rubbish and nonsense. But what's a decent book on Russia that's been written in recent?
I've started reading Provoked. A friend of mine brought it to me. That seems to be a good book on the whole Ukrainian
You mean
crisis.
provoked, meaning Ukraine? Is that what it's alluding to?
How this whole conflict began and
Who
how
wrote it?
Russia's. I'll tell you who's the
I've
writer.
seen it, I think.
And one second, I'll tell you who the writer is.
We're sanctioned, so I can't purchase the books online.
Yeah, me too. It's only when somebody brings me one of these books, one of my friends are coming in. Otherwise, yeah, we can't get. I think there's actually a. You can do post. I think it started to work again between Russia and U.S., but it's like 3 to 4 months or more, and that's questionable. It used to be about a week, week and a half. So yeah, any of these kinds of books, they're pretty hard to get. Any books,
Provoked. Okay.
yeah. As far as Russia itself,
I'll see if I can find it.
modern books, I don't know. From the Western side, I mean, everything's pretty tainted. There's a good book, but it's
Yeah,
in
of
Russian,
course.
the Black Book of Ukrainian war crimes. But it's in Russian, and it covers, and it only covers up to the beginning of the SMO, and that's still a pretty thick book. Of what the Ukrainian military was doing in the eastern provinces against the Russian population in areas that they occupy, amongst
Well,
other things.
there are very few good books out there in English. I mean,
Yeah.
there are lots of books on Iran, which are they're all. I mean, I there may be a couple out there that I don't know of that they're good. The four that I named are the ones I know are good, but all the ones that I've seen are totally rubbish. And once I heard just recently, someone said, "Well, how about so and so's book?" And I said, "That's like the worst of the worst."
Bolton's Guide to World History.
I mean, some of these, because the worst books in the West are the ones that pretend to be alternative, but they're really
Yes.
mainstream. Just like as I was saying about Maduro, and they say, oh, we should, Maduro's evil and it's an authoritarian regime, but we shouldn't attack the country. That's sort of,
Right.
I mean, if you're talking about evil, go and look at, your own house, your own government.
Well, it's like
You don't need to
the
tell us anything
professor.
about the government.
Professor Zhang, the high school teacher out of, I think he's out of Hong Kong. I think he's actually living in Canada. The one that he's the empire's evil, but the Israelis are going to rule everything, so you might as well just surrender. That's the end of his message. It always comes down to that. This is the same guy that said, by the way, that the U.S. is hiding 650,000 troops that it's going to invade Iran with as soon as the weather turns. I mean, just
Right.
the ludicrous, and
You
he's
know,
on.
I haven't I saw him a couple of times. I actually heard this from someone that he I didn't hear about the 650,000 or so troops,
That's his
but
latest thing.
I heard that he said, I think on Nima's show, that I didn't see it myself, that that this is going to happen or something like that, because Larry Johnson did it was doing a show on NEMA, and I saw like the first 20 minutes of it where he was basically critiquing this person. I don't know him. I was invited a couple of times to do a show with him, and I think it was Sneeko asked me to do a show with him a couple of times. It didn't happen.
Yeah, Nima and I were
I
talking
think
about
once
it.
I saw his I think once I saw his message late or something like that. I didn't have any problem with doing it.
Yeah, I had Nima and I were discussing him, and Nima was like, he called Nima, was begging to be on a show, and then was just spilling this crap. I listened to him fully once, and I'm sitting there like, and this was his collapse theories. I'm like, first of all, he's not a, he didn't create these. There's a lot of different theories that he's kind of pulling in chunks and pieces of mishmash. And I was like, yeah, I'm not quite so sure, this how up and up on this guy is. And then I listened to the second one like a couple months later. That's when he said, Pax Israel is going to rule the Middle East and all this. Like, okay. I stopped after 10 minutes after he said that. It's like, this is bullshit. Pardon
I
my
haven't
French.
seen him much. I personally can't comment on him. I just saw him, I think, once or twice before all this, like when he was first becoming popular. He did a couple of shows, which it sounded reasonable to me. And then I think he began saying these things about which I haven't heard myself. But yeah, but then Larry was heavily critiquing him, and that's when I found out that he'd said like this one.
Yeah, I listened when I heard the 650. I listened to what he was saying, and yes, they're in somewhere in the
Well, I mean, like,
mountains.
where do you hide 650,000 people?
To begin with, 650,000 combat troops. So you'd have to have another 2 million, 1.5 million support troops. Where do you
Yeah.
hide that in today's modern age? How do you support that? And that's 650,000 is more than the entire U.S. Army and Marine Corps combined, and it's everybody. Combat, truck drivers, finance guys. That's so we and he makes it on all these shows, but he's like those books, like you were saying, because his message always comes back to
You heard him say it yourself, or someone told you that
no,
he
no, I
said
heard him say
650,000?
I heard him say
Oh,
himself. Yeah,
yeah.
one
Well,
of the
that's
shows he
great.
was doing. Oh yeah, so he's like those books, except on audio. Because he's always come back. Yeah, it's horrible. They're evil, but they're gonna win. So you might as well surrender.
I'd prefer not
yeah,
to.
for die on my feet, with a rifle in my
Yeah.
hand.
Anyway, I haven't seen his, I haven't seen his stuff, to be honest. And so it's unfair to me to comment. But I mean, since you heard it yourself, obviously that's not 650,000. It's just it's as you say, they don't even have those numbers. And and let's say they did, they'd have to empty out all their 850 or so whatever bases they have across the world. They'd have to leave East Asia, and there, everything will have to be merged into CENTCOM effectively. They'd have to leave Latin America, Africa, Asia, put everything. I mean, that's just, and they don't even have those numbers. So, yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, the Americans may carry out a ground invasion. I'm not saying it won't happen, but if it is, it's like for a few islands and and the coast, which would be madness. They would lose because then the Iranian ground troops would come in, and they're all equipped with their own new technology. You know, their rockets and their drones, and I mean, the Iranians, they built all these underground bases for today. And so for them to imagine that the Iranian ground forces have not been prepared for today is another madness. So if the Americans invade, the Iranians will rip them to pieces. The Iranians would like them to take a few islands. I mean, what's okay? So let's say they take Hark Island. Who cares? I mean, there's no oil leaving the Persian Gulf. And so Hark Island right now is not exporting oil. So let's say they take this island. It's a flat piece of island. It's a flat piece of land. What are they going to do? They're just going to be targets for Iranians. They're going to be close to the Iranian shore. And some of the other islands are right beside the Iranian shore. So they can actually look, see these guys on the island. So if they, so what but the invasion numbers that you'd have would be like what, 10,000 troops. I mean, because if they have 50,000 people in the region, 60,000, 70,000 people, most of these people are like as you pointed out, the truck drivers, there are only a few thousand people who are going to be actually involved in the invasion itself. It's not sustainable. It's not doable. And it's going to fail. So
It's
if there
not
may be
logistically
some sort of
sustainable.
land invasion. Yeah, and then at the same time, the price of oil is going to continue to go through the roof, and that's going to lead to economic collapse. And when the economy collapses, the bases are going to have to shut down. They're going to have to go home because, you don't have the money anymore.
Look, when the
I mean,
US economy
it's sort of like the Soviet Union. I mean, the mismanagement, all that aside, when it collapses, right, when these republics start moving away, then all these bases and so they have to go back to Russia because they don't have the money to sustain it anymore. If you have an economic collapse anywhere, I mean, the British Empire, why is it no longer an empire? Why did they? Because it was not sustainable. They just didn't have the money. So when the and if Trump keeps going down the road that he's chosen, possibly because it's Trump, he may choose a different route tomorrow morning. But if or today morning, but if he continues down this road, and the glow and it'll lead to economic collapse, he's not going to be able to continue the. He'll have to go home.
Well, I got a car driving by here. I don't know if you can hear it or not. Truck driving by.
No, I
Okay,
don't hear
filters
anything.
out. Not sure how much I'm heard and how much the truck's heard, but I think it does a good job of filtering. Well, at least you can say one thing. No matter how bad the collapse is in the US, the CIA will still get funded. The only organization in the US that will always get funded until the government itself dies.
Well, I mean, one of the places where the CIA makes lots of money and center for the CIA is Dubai. And, the drug money from Afghanistan always went through the Emirates. In African countries where they have upheaval and you have all these militias that are funded by these people, the money of the illegal, gold mines and the other mines where the West is plundering the resources of Africa across the country. A lot of that money goes through Dubai. That is going to fall apart too. Everything is falling apart. The whole system is falling apart. And so for the CIA is also going to it's not going to be the world tomorrow is not going to be like the world today. Whether it's the military, the CIA, I think the United States it's going to be a different world. And the milking of the Persian Gulf region, that's going to come to an end because there's not going to be all that much. There's not going to be any milk anymore. And as we speak, this is the damage being done to the U.S. economy just in the Persian Gulf is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Because the oil that they sell or the gas that they sell, a lot of that money goes to purchase stocks and bonds in the United States and in Western markets. Well, that money is not going there anymore. And these regimes will start needing to take back some of that money. And I'm pretty sure the Americans won't let them do it. They'll only let them take back some of their money up to a point. This model is no longer going to function. I mean, what Trump has done to the United States is so catastrophic that it's not it's impossible to really comprehend. But it's not as if he's like it's not as if it's just Trump. I mean, it's the whole system. I mean, if it wasn't Trump, that whoever was the president would be doing the same thing, but perhaps not so quickly and foolishly.
True, true. We could be thankful for one thing about Trump. He's taken the mask off.
Oh, that, I mean,
He's shown
absolutely.
the
I mean,
face.
some, yeah, no one believes anything that they say anymore. I mean, I can tell whenever I'm invited on. Oh, I mean, it used to be that I had to go online and I had to like tell the truth about Iran. And it would be like eye-opening for some people. Now there are so many people who are doing such a much better job than I in alternative media that there's really nothing left for me to say. There's so many good people out there, and people are seeing right through, and the audiences don't need a lot of convincing because Trump makes it so obvious that you don't really need to go and make the case and have all your pointers and explain how each in how exactly Trump is lying and cheating and stealing. People know it.
You're absolutely right. Look, I know I've had you on for a while, and you've got things to do. One last question.
Sure.
Since they can't hit the military, what do you think they're going to be aiming for
Well, that's the
at
big
this
question.
point?
That's the big question. I don't know. I mean, at the beginning, I was sort of alluding to that. I mean, doesn't have many options. Either he has to walk away, but if he walks away, the Iranians are not going to let him go. I mean, the Strait of Hormuz is not going to be normalized. He's going to have to give those concessions that Iran demands.
But wait a minute, I
Or
thought he
he's going
controls
to.
the Straits of Hormuz. He tells us
Yeah,
that
of
every day he
course. Yeah,
controls
of course. I forgot that. I'm growing old, so I'm forgetful.
it.
Or he's going to continue down this path, which is going to lead him to a dead end because it's just not sustainable. Because it's sort of like the global economy is going downhill pretty fast. Or he's going to escalate, as he says, and he's going to start pounding. If he does that, then Iran is going to hit back. And then it's much easier for Iran to destroy the power plants in these countries than it is for him to destroy them in Iran. Why? Because in Iran, they're spread out across the country, like there are almost 100 of them. In these countries, they're right in front of Iran, right alongside the shore of the Persian Gulf. Everything's right in front of you, and they're huge. In Iran, they're much bigger than Iran. The Iranians have them all over the place, but they're smaller. So you can easily destroy these with a few missiles and drones. And all these artist countries, as you put it, they'd collapse. Even Saudi Arabia, it would collapse because, I mean, the pipelines mean nothing because all the resources are here. So if Iran destroyed, I mean, even if Yemen was not involved, if Iran destroyed the oil installations in front of it, there's nothing to go through the pipeline. The
Absolutely. That's right.
pipelines, all the resources are on. This in the Persian Gulf region. So if Trump does this, then these regimes all will be destroyed because they're just a bunch of deserts. I mean, 1% of Iranians use desalination plants. In these countries, it's like between 99%, I mean, between 70% or 80% to 99%. And I can't imagine it being 77% because I don't know. I don't think any of them have that much, like 20% water resources. Maybe Oman does because it has some mountainous areas. I don't know. But in any case, they're utterly dependent on desalination plants. So, or they're, of course, Iran does not want to do this. Iran did not start the war. Iran did not escalate. Iran did not begin targeting critical infrastructure. But this is deterrence. If they continue down this road, these countries that are all complicit in the war, they will pay the price. And so tens of millions of people will leave, and these countries will no longer exist. And that will be the end of the global economy as we know it, because the markets will then collapse, because they will know that the future, that they've reached a dead end, and there will be panic.
Absolutely.
And
Hey, which amazes
that will be
me
really bad.
that this far in, the markets haven't panicked.
Well, because they believe Trump's nonsense. I mean, Tucker Carlson, I saw a clip of him where he was saying that a lot of, artificial intelligence is really what drives the markets. And since Trump and his henchmen keep saying, oh, it's over, we're winning, it's going to be, the prices are going down, apparently, from what he says, and he has his sources. He's not just some guy. Apparently, all this goes into the way in which the artificial intelligence is used, and it keeps the prices down.
Yeah,
So when the powerful people are saying that, oh, all is well, then the system, the computers and all that, that they calculate that the price will remain what it is. Only when it becomes so visible, I only so but if, let's say, you do see the collapse of these regimes in the Persian Gulf, then it doesn't matter what Trump says anymore. Because reality will kick in, and all the narratives will just disappear.
So basically, what you're saying
Hopefully
is.
we won't go there. Hopefully we won't get there. I do not. I hate war. I mean, there. I hate war. I hate the Ukrainian war. I hate. I don't want to see Israeli kids die. I have no sympathy for Israeli soldiers, men and women, but I don't want to see a single missile strike a city in Israel, killing like a 10-year-old kid. It's terrible. I don't want any war anywhere. But if when they cooperate with the United States, and then they help the United States kill kids, and they help the United States bomb power plants, they've been warned. So Iran has no will have no option. Hopefully Trump will, I mean, hopefully his proxies in the region, and Erdogan and these agents of empire, will tell him, this is going to end badly, and convince him not to do it. But if he does, Iran won't wait. It'll strike back immediately, and Iran will hit back very hard.
And that's a positive note because we're facing we're facing a demon in the form of
You
empire.
have no option. They give you no option. They give you, and what is all this about? It's because Iran opposes genocide. That's it. It's because Iran is independent, unlike everyone else, and Iran opposes genocide. It's pretty simple. It's not because of our names. It's not because of our skin color. I mean, all of that has to do with it a bit, but a lot. But the real, re I mean, the names, the Turkish names, or the names in Saudi Arabia, or the skin color, they have the same problem. But Iran is being bombed and strangled and sanctioned. I mean, it's amazing. The Americans carry out this war against Iran that the British designate the Revolutionary Guards as a terrorist organization. It's like, just, they invade, they kill. The victims are
Of
the
course,
terrorists.
because you're not allowed to resist. The fact that you're
Yeah,
resisting,
exactly.
but on the let's end it on this bright note. because Iran is resisting, because Russia is resisting, it's telling other countries you can also resist. You don't have to bend the knee. Sahal has resisted
Yeah, this is going
and
to
it's
have an
growing.
impact. As the empire, as it slowly falls, more and more people will join. But it's just pathetic how, the regimes in our region are still clinging on to the empire,
Oh, yeah.
holding the NATO summit in Turkey as if this is a something to be proud of. It's something to be ashamed of.
It is. It is. But they're going to do this to the end. I mean, the
Oh, yeah,
unfortunate.
of course, because the people in the region are sick and tired. And these regimes, they don't reflect the views of the people.
Absolutely. And on that note, I want to thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. My personal friend, friend of the channel. Thank you very much for your time. I know you're busy. You're incredibly busy.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. And thank you very much for having me. And I hope to see you soon, either here or there.
I very much hope to sometime around November, the summertime period, to come to Iran, get away from the snow and the cold, and come to someplace warm welcome. What, can you hear that?
Welcome. And hopefully, yes, I heard something, yeah,
Yeah,
in the background.
that's air raid sirens. They switch on about four or five times a day from Ukrainian drones. There's no big panic. Nobody's running.
Right,
People
right.
are.
Well, hopefully it'll all come to an end.
Yeah.
We'll see better days.
Oh,
Sure.
absolutely. And definitely our children will see better days. Definitely.
Sure.
On that note, thank you very much. Always
Thank
appreciate it.
you. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon.